that we have in this day and age that we're living with, that we're thrusting upon our kids and our grandkids. That's what I think about. You know, what kind of America are we going to turn over to the next generation? It is a bit frightening, but sometimes, you know, as they say, it has to get absolutely dark before we can appreciate the light. John Lott, Dr. John Lott is with us. He's called by Newsweek the gun crowd's guru, author, lecturer, nationally famous economist as well. Dr. Lott, always good to have you with us. Congratulations on the new book, The War on Guns.
Thanks very much for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
Well, John, here it is. We've got Hillary Clinton making it real clear that vacancy left open by the passing of our judge Scalia,
Antonin Scalia,
that she wants to put somebody who is going to be more aggressive on the Second Amendment.
Right. Well, I mean, it's more than just being more aggressive. I mean, it's pretty clear, even if she doesn't want to publicly state it, that we're talking about whether or not the government has the power to ban guns. The Supreme Court decision in Heller was very clear. It said that Washington, D.C. had completely banned handguns, and even though you could technically own a rifle or a shotgun, if you actually put a bullet in the chamber of the rifle or a shotgun shell in the shotgun, it was a felony, punished by 5 years in prison. You didn't even have to fire the gun.
Right.
And so her statement that she wants to reverse it, you know, she keeps on adding, well, for reasonable regulations, but the only regulation change as a result of reversing Heller would be that the government, whether it be local governments or the federal government, would have the power to again completely ban guns.
And that's the bottom line of all this, is that let's just ban it. I mean, we're going to just continue to progress. This is what progressives do. They move the ball down the road a little bit at a time. I mean, and along with it, you know, the ends justify the means. So even though you misrepresent gun restrictions as they stand today, it's all okay. I mean, you know, some of the things she spouts off, it's like, wait a minute, you know, you lose credibility with people of conscience and people of truth when you misrepresent things like saying there's no, you know, there's no gun clearance at a gun show or anything that's done over the internet. I don't know that, at least I've never experienced being able to buy or sell a gun over the internet that didn't have to go through its proper channels.
Right. Well, look, the media, I think, has been, really bad in terms of how it's described the situation. What it's has said over and over again, it says, well, she's not going to remove the Second Amendment from the Constitution. You know, the fact checkers say it's simply wrong to go and say that she wants to eliminate the Second Amendment. You don't have to pass another constitutional amendment to accomplish what she wants to do. She, who you appoint as justices to the Supreme Court will make all the difference in terms of what the amendment means. So right now, the Heller decision was a 5-4 decision. And with Scalia's death, it's a 4-4 tie in the Supreme Court. You have four members of the Supreme Court who do not believe that there's an individual right to self-defense, let alone an individual right to self-defense with a gun. And so whoever appoints the next Supreme Court justice is going to break that tie.
Exactly.
And make it possible for government. But the thing is, we know places like Washington, D.C. will immediately pass a ban. We know California, for example, they have quote-unquote safety regulations. You know, you'd be able to drop a handgun from a tall height, from the top of a tall building, onto concrete without it being damaged, and micro-stamping rules. Since 2001, over 1,200 models of handguns have been banned from being able to be sold in California. There's literally only a dozen handguns models that can legally be sold in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Within a few years, it's very likely there'll be zero guns that will be handguns will be allowed to be sold. So you've effectively used these safety regulations that really have nothing to do with real world safety issues with guns. That will ban handguns in the state. If Hillary Clinton wins, that ban will be able to be in effect. If Trump wins and appoints the people that he wants to appoint to the Supreme Court, then I strongly believe that that ban, when it actually kind of finally takes effect, so there's quote-unquote standing. There's no handguns that are left to be able to be sold in the state, would be struck down.
Well, Hillary has suggested that whether by the Supreme Court or executive order, she's going to put pressure on that, isn't she?
Well, I mean, there's two ways. One is she's promised that she would appoint justices to the Supreme Court who would overturn that decision, as well as she's promised that they'd overturn Citizens United, which, in case people don't really realize the facts there, the federal government was arguing that it had the power to go and ban movies during election years that they deemed to be political. Also, they deemed that they had the power to ban books that they deemed to be political during election years. So it's not just the Second Amendment, it's the First Amendment, and there are many other issues with regard to the First Amendment that she would be changing. We'd be living in a very different country. You know, it's just, if you told me 20 years ago that a presidential election would be determining whether or not the government had the power to ban movies and books, that you'd have political appointees that would be making those decisions, I'm not sure I would have believed you.
Yeah. Well, John, doesn't Citizens United also involve, you know, all this big money spending that's been going into elections as well?
Yeah, but the case itself dealt with this notion that, look, we've limited how much you can give to a campaign, and so companies will go and give money to candidates through other ways. So they'll go and they'll publish a book. You know, so Simon & Schuster or Regnery or somebody could publish a book during an election year that would be making political arguments that would be, that could affect the campaign, or that they would be, you know, Sony or Columbia or, who, you know, Golden Mayer would be producing a movie, releasing a movie during election year that dealt with political issues. And that would be companies' way of getting around the campaign finance rules.
Exactly.
But, I mean, but to give the government the power, I don't think most people realize that that's what's being debated here right now. If they think that the government should do that, then fine, but at least they should know that that's what's being debated.
Exactly. Well, we've got more to talk about with Dr. John Lott, his new book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John, the book available at all the usual places, correct?
Yeah, I think the cheapest places are Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com.
Well, of course, and we'll have it linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. More from Dr. John Lott on the other side of the break as our conversation continues right here on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us. We're coming upon 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson of the Genesis Communications Network. Over the 30-plus years I've been in finance, I can see that the world economy is now at a critical point. Unlimited money creation and runaway debt could trigger a collapse of the financial system. It's imperative that you protect yourself in case of hyperinflation or even deflation. Investment Rarities has put together a survival bag of 200 silver quarters. These 90% silver quarters are dated 1964 and earlier. Each quarter is worth almost $5. If a quarter has already reached $5,
hey John, great
the trend
job
is
as always. We've got 10 minutes
side.
When we come back.
These survival
and,
bags sell for $8.95 delivered.
We'll get
call 800-328-1860 to order today. Not only can these quarters be used for barter in a brief period of hyperinflation,
he must
they have the potential to appreciate 5 to 10 times. Call 800-328-1860. Get one for each member of your family. Call 800-328-1860. That's 800-328-1860.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cartovite. Cartovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cartovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Yeah, I think we got it. It's Bill Martinez. You got it. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, back with you. John Lott's latest book is called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. I mean, for example, Chicago has some of the strictest gun restrictions in the United States, but Chicago's murder rate soars 72% in 2016, and shootings are up more than 88%. Hillary says that we have a gun epidemic. And, of course, her and the left wing of the Democratic Party, that's what they say. But, you know, what do they mean by that, Dr. John Lott?
Right, well, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of drug gang crime that we have in urban areas. The problem is that the types of laws that she puts forward are going to disarm the most vulnerable citizens in our country, making and not the criminals. I mean, to think that these background checks and private transfers are going to stop drug gangs from getting a hold of gangs, as we've been able to stop them from getting a hold of the illegal drugs that they sell by simply banning drugs.
Yeah.
The issue that you face, though, is that these types of background checks that she's pushing have real costs, and they could be easily fixed, but the Democrats refuse to fix them. And one of the problems is that when she talks about 2.4 million dangerous prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns, what she really should say is that these are just initial denials and that virtually all of these are mistakes. They're law-abiding people who simply have names similar to the people that we want to stop. So, you know, the simplest example I could give is the late Senator Ted Kennedy, where he was stopped from flying five times because he had a name similar to someone who was on the no-fly list. The thing that most people don't understand is that the government has all the information that it needs to accurately do these background checks. They have the name, the Social Security number, address, and birthday. But what they only use is a similar name, so phonetically similar name, so you could have one person Smith with an I and another person Smith with a Y and an E, and the government will view those as identical individuals. They don't even look to see whether the middle name is the same. And so you have somebody who's John Smith with all the different possible spellings for John or Smith and the same birthday. They don't look at Social Security number and they don't look at addresses. You can have a lot of people who end up being confused. And the thing is, these errors overwhelmingly tend to be for blacks and Hispanics. And the problem is that it's gotten worse under President Obama, because at least in the past, if a mistake was made, the government would go and eventually, in most cases, fix it. That may be a year, maybe a year and a half, but they would at least send you a letter saying that they had made a mistake. Now, President Obama has removed every single person who used to do the checks. And so you can appeal, but it costs literally thousands of dollars. And so you have primarily middle and poor blacks and Hispanics that are being stopped from being able to go and buy a gun. Now, and that's not the only problem. These checks are costless. When President Obama pushes for these from the White House, it costs $125 to privately transfer a gun in Washington, D.C. Again, who do they think gets stopped from doing so because of those types of background checks? It's basically poor people, particularly minorities, who live in high-crime urban areas of D.C.
So what are they going to do? They're going to go get a gun under the table somehow, illegally.
Right, or they're going to be law-abiding and be defenseless against the criminals who aren't going to be paying these $125 fee to go and get a gun in D.C. And so, and again, it's something that could be easily fixed, but I think it gives you a real idea what their real agenda is, as you were pointing out earlier, and that is in 2013, when Colorado was trying to pass his background checks on private transfers, I got a call from some state legislators asking me what amendment they should put up. And I suggested they put up an amendment that would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax on transferring guns. Mm-hmm. With the exception of two pro-gun Democrats, every other Democrat in the state house there voted against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax. And I can give you many other cases like that where Democrats will time after time vote against people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state taxes or fees that they want to have. I mean, how many taxes can you think of where Democrats will consistently fight tooth and nail against exempting people below the poverty level? And I think it goes to show that the reason why they're pushing these laws is primarily to disarm law-abiding citizens, particularly poor minorities.
Well, let's look at the poor minorities. I mean, you know, of course, it's a bit unfair because basically, based on what you're telling me, is the government has really pushed them into a no-win proposition. If they're that threatened, they're going to find a way to get their hands on the guns. And so now it's an illegal proposition. And that just seems, you know, so unfair. And but yet here the Democrats are talking about being the champion of the poor.
Right. No, look, we know what types of individuals are most likely to be victimized by violent crime or property crime, and they get harmed in many different ways. I mean, they get harmed from the fact that physical harm, but they also get harmed because of high crime rates make it so that businesses and jobs move out of areas that are there.
Right.
And so, you know, not allowing people to defend themselves makes it easier, less risky for criminals to go and commit crimes and harms these individuals in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, I'm in Florida right now where the Stand Your Ground laws have been debated and brought to a national light here. And you say that that's, you know, some of the best crime deterrence we have.
I have a chapter in the War on Guns that looks to see who benefits. I have a lot of data specifically on Florida. Mm-hmm. And what you find is that the people who are most likely to use stand your ground laws are minorities, blacks in particular. They're the ones who are most likely victims of violent crime. So it's not too surprising that they're the ones who are going to be most frequently using their guns to protect themselves from criminal attack. And not only are they the ones who are most likely to use their guns in defense, but they use stand your ground laws more frequently, and they're more successful in when they do use that. And so the question becomes, if you were to go and get rid of stand your ground laws, the very minorities the Democrats say that they want to go and protect are going to find themselves more likely victims of violent crime, because if it's less risky for criminals to go and attack them, there'll be more attacks that occur.
Mm-hmm. How many states embraced stand your ground laws?
30
of them. Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing you address in your book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Control Lies, is the gun-free zones. I'm with you on this. I've mentioned on the show on several occasions, having gone to a movie, a local movie house here, and there were notices up in the front of the building saying this is a gun-free zone. I went to the manager. I said, are you kidding me? Do you realize what you've just done? Well, it's corporate policy. The heck with your corporate policy. You're going to be liable because you're putting all of us at risk by putting that sign, because now you've invited those with guns to come in and know that it's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel here. Thank you very much.
Right. Look, the war on guns spends a lot of time on this, not only looking at the U.S. evidence, but across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what you find is how frequently these killers explicitly explain why they picked the targets that they did and say that they did so because they want to go to a place where they know victims can't defend themselves. There's
exactly.
The case this spring in Detroit where a father was concerned about his son's involvement with ISIS, had gone and told the FBI about it. The FBI put a tap on the son's phone, and they recorded a chilling conversation where the son explained that he wanted to attack to a compatriot, one of the largest churches in the Detroit area.
Well, John, we got to leave it right there because we're out of time. Dr. John Lott, his book, The War on Guns, it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com, available at Amazon and all the usual places. Dr. Lott, thank you so much for being with us.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope.